Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Around the world, 2017 has been, for the most part, a year of distress. Donald Trump's January inauguration kicked off a flood of American unrest that continues to fracture that nation along lines of race and politics. His determination to put America first has led him to pursue aggressive political and economic policies with the rest of the world that seem aimed at replacing the goal of international cooperation with fairly ruthless global competition. His comments on Twitter and in some of his speeches, presumably intended to highlight his values and convictions as a leader of the world's most powerful nation, have been sadly selfish, vindictive, and often misinformed. I could go on, but I won't. I also won't bother to list natural disasters, terrorist attacks, and local crimes that have added to the general malaise of 2017. My purpose in today's sermon is not merely to weigh us down with worry or fear. And actually, this year, 2017, is one in which the world is really not so very different from the world that the prophet Isaiah preached and lived in. It was a long time ago, but it was also a troubled time. It's true that with global media, you and I have a much clearer perception of the troubles of our times than people of antiquity did. Sorry, I'm having some trouble with my tongue this morning. However, the 8th century prophet Isaiah had the all-knowing God to inform him of the troubles of his world. And inform Isaiah, God did, calling him to denounce the proud unbelief, the superstitious idolatry, the rampant greed and the violence of the people of Israel and Judah at that time. Again and again, Isaiah warned his people that God's judgment was near. In his lifetime, that hammer fell upon Israel, Judah's northern siblings. The empire of Assyria effectively annihilated 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel, leaving only the descendants of Benjamin and Judah and a few of those of Levi to hold out in the south. And yet, Judah continued along her stubborn and self-confident way, despite Isaiah's warnings. And so he continued to preach doom to them as well, calling them to repentance. And his sad, sermonic warnings became reality when Babylon arose as God's instrument of judgment to crush and humble his people. By then, Isaiah had rested with his fathers for many years, but his message lived on. Some of Isaiah's sermons, like those we heard in today's reading from the Old Testament, were preached kind of like a farmer plants seed in his field and waits. For quite a time, Isaiah's words lay dormant in the ground, for the message that they had did not seem suited to the days when Judah persisted in her sin, vainly imagining that she would never be called to account, that God would never judge her. Then came the Babylonians, the siege of Jerusalem, the slaughter of her citizens, the destruction of the temple, and the exile of the survivors. Then 70 long years of life in places foreign and unfriendly for the exiled people. And when it seemed that God had forever forgotten his languishing people, then lo and behold, Isaiah's old words began to germinate, to grow, and to bear the fruit of hope for these exiles, these suffering peoples. The time had come for Isaiah's words to be heard again and to be believed. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Judah's judgment was complete, and God held nothing more against his people. They were forgiven. They were free. Soon they would return to their homeland, risen from the dead, as it were, to live again before God as his people. Those once forsaken and comfortless heard God speaking to them through the old sermon of Isaiah. God spoke his healing words to comfort those Babylonian exiles and to reclaim them as his own people. Isaiah's message prepared the way for the exiles to make their long and somewhat treacherous journey home to Judah. It assured them that God would make their way home clear. A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley will be lifted up and every mountain and hill made low, and the uneven ground will be made a plain and the rough places a plain." The same words, these words of Isaiah, also promised another return, not just for the people of Judah, but for the people, all the people who were alienated from God through sin. Judah was not the only rebellious and sinful people in the world. And God's desire to save and regather his fallen creatures extended to all the families of the earth. And so, about 30 AD, Isaiah's words were chosen as the very text for the sermons of a man from the wilderness named John. And John, out of his mouth, spoke these words of Isaiah and formed them into a call to make ready through repentance and faith the people who were waiting for God to come and judge and save the earth. His hearers, John confessed their sins before God, received baptism, and they waited for God to come. And Jesus did come. "The word of our God will stand forever," promised Isaiah. And Jesus made it so. The virgin-born man of Nazareth showed himself the eternal Son of God, the perfect revelation of God's being, God personally united with human nature. And Jesus lived the commands of God, never straying to the right or to the left. He spoke the words of God to make clear God's will, to condemn sin, to forgive sinners, to heal the sick, to deliver the demoniacs, and to perform other miraculous works that revealed his divinity. He fulfilled God's long-promised yet mysterious plan of salvation by surrendering to his enemies, suffering their condemnation, and submitting to death by crucifixion. Death wasn't strong enough to hold Jesus in the grave. Death couldn't keep this word silent in the grave, for God resurrected his Son to stand forever as the light and salvation of all people, the light for Gentiles and Jews alike. And so still, for you and me today, this saving word of God stands, and God calls to you and to me through it. "Go up on a high hill, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." For you and me, and for all people of our world today, these are words that stand forever. They are words that comfort people whose hearts are shaken and frightened by the darkness and danger and confusion of our times, because they proclaim hope in the person of God in Jesus Christ. Behold your God. So much of the confusion today results from the fact that for so many people today, they have the false belief that we're getting better, that we can solve all the problems of this world. And so as people strive to do more and more to get better, to put their faith more and more in themselves, they're shocked when somebody opens fire on a crowd of people with an Uzi. They wonder, how can this be? It is because humanity as a race is fallen and alienated from God. And our only hope in this life is not in ourselves being good to ourselves, but in God's gift of His Son, who bridged the gap between us and Him by His own death and resurrection, and who calls us through repentance and faith to be His forgiven people, to be His people of hope and light in this world. Humanity cannot save itself from itself. We sin and die, but the word of our God stands forever. It stands strong, good, just, and merciful, always. And Jesus is here with us today. We hear His voice in the Scriptures. He calls to us to repent of our self-confidence and to believe in His love and power. He rules over us with the promise that nothing can snatch us from His hand. He shepherds us, feeding our faith with forgiveness for our sins, so that we follow Him in the righteous ways of the Lord by faith. He protects us by means of His rod and His staff, fending off our spiritual enemies by His resurrection power. And our shepherd will come for us in the end in His glorious body, with heaven's angels as His co-shepherds, to gather us into His flock, redeemed from all generations. And we will serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter us with His presence. We shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike us, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be our shepherd, and He will guide us to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. May this hope ground us and make us people of hope as we look and wait for our Lord to return. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.